Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, February 9, 2025, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 8, and we are in one of the most important paragraphs in the word of God. And it deals with authority. When you have authority always has to go with freedom. Freedom and authority. In preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 7, we've exegeted. It sounds like this. For those believers who live according to the sin nature, keep on setting their minds on the things of the sin nature, that is, what the sin nature lusts for. But those believers who live according to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, keep on setting their minds on the things of the Spirit, that is, God and His Word. Verse 6. So then, the mindset controlled by the sin nature is death. Starts out with carnal death, and if you continue making bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system, it will result in the sin unto death. But the mindset controlled by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is life, resulting in eirene. Blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. This morning, my grandchildren, they all come back to see me first as soon as they get here. And I always ask what they did on the weekend, and always ask if they learned anything in school, and they say no. And then I tell them, I say, well, what you do when you come here to learn the Word of God, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, that's the most important thing you could ever, ever do. Because as you do that, you will fulfill God's plan for your life. Now, I want you all to know, God has a plan for each one of your lives. And that plan, He wants to bless you and bless you and bless you and bless you and bless you. That's the plan that God has for you. Now, that will be reality in your life. You're growing up, and you have already learned more about the Word of God than most Christians will ever learn. You keep staying positive, having humility. You keep growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. God will guide you. He has a plan for your life. And He will show you what that plan is. And when you are doing what God puts you here to do, that's the best of the best of the best of the best. God has a plan for your life, and when you're living that plan, you will be happy every single day. I want you to know this. I mean, Nana and Papa, we want to see you happy every single day the rest of your life. And you will. You will. If you fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life, you can have Christmas. Yeah, I know we always say, they always tell me Merry Christmas. I tell them Merry Christmas. But it won't just be words. It will be reality. You will have Christmas every single day. And so, that's what we have here in this passage. Very important. Verse 7. Because the mindset on the sin nature, controlled by the sin nature, is hostility against God. For it absolutely does not hupotasso itself. This is the key word here. This is a military term. It absolutely does not subordinate itself to the authority of the law of God, God and His Word, because it's not even able to do so. Now in verse 7, the key word there is hupotasso. H-U-P-O-T-A-S-S long O. Hupotasso. And this is a military term, and it means to be subordinate to authority. And as we're in our Thursday night class, we are looking at the first verse of 2 John, which is addressed to a magnificent lady, Nympha, who John calls Curia, magnificent, noble lady. And she has, we don't know how many children, she has several children. And she has done a fantastic job in raising those children and training those children. And she taught them humility. They all got the gospel. They all believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then she taught them respect for authority. Everywhere, respect for authority. It started out with enforced humility because children are born arrogant. You know that. When you had, with a little tyke was sitting there and you said, don't, go get that. No. That's not humility. Don't touch that.
No.
They start out arrogant. They have to be taught humility, respect for authority. And they did. This lady did a phenomenal job training her children. They started out with enforced humility, and then it became genuine humility. And they had not only great respect for their mother, and we don't know, evidently the father has already gone to be with the Lord, absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. But they learned genuine humility from their mom. And their mom, the church was a house church. We're very common in the ancient world. In the ancient world, the local church was oftentimes a house church. And the church in Laodicea met in Nympha's house. And so her children were in church. They had not only the greatest respect for their mother, they had the greatest respect for all authority. They had the greatest respect for spiritual authority. And they, therefore, with positive volition and humility, they listened to the teaching of the Word of God. They learned it. They believed it. It was in their heart. And they became spiritually mature believers, winner believers. All of her children were winner believers. So here's this magnificent lady, Nympha, a winner believer, and all of her children, magnificent, spiritually mature, winner believers. And the first verse in 2 John, is John is addressing it to this magnificent lady, Nympha, and all of her children. Because not only does John recognize that she and all of her children are spiritually mature believers, winner believers, but everyone in the geographical area, they all knew about Nympha, and they all knew that all of her children were winner believers, spiritually mature believers. She did such a fantastic job. Well, that's where our Thursday night class dovetails with our Sunday morning class. And our word here, hupotasso. It's a military term. It means to be subordinate to authority. And one of the best things that could ever happen to any of you young men, and now, of course, the ladies as well, is to serve in the military. Because when you serve in the military, you learn authority orientation, to be subordinate to authority. It starts out real simple. Basic training. They give you a manual. They give you the manual. You read this manual and you memorize it. You know that manual inside and out. And in that manual, there's only three answers to any question when that DI asks you, what's wrong with your uniform? And if you try to have a conversation with them, well, I didn't quite get up, you know. There's three answers. Yes, sir, no excuse, sir. That's it, period. So that DI gets in your face and yells at you. Yells at you. There's only three responses. Yes, sir, no excuse, sir. What is that? You're learning to be subordinate to authority. And why is that important? Well, when you go to war, you're in combat, you're in battle, and your commanding officer gives you an order, you do it. Because you have learned total subordination to authority. That commanding officer gives you a command, yes, sir! You execute. Mine is not the reason why. Mine is to do or to die. That is absolutely critical for a military organization. Authority orientation. And that's what hupotasso is. To be subordinate to authority. And we have the objective negative uk, which slams the door. In other words, the mindset of the believer controlled by the sin nature absolutely cannot subordinate itself to the authority of God or the authority of the Word of God. And then we have tonamo tutheu, the law of God. And this is the will of God revealed in the Word of God. And this insubordination to the Word of God is based on both neglect or rejection of God's problem-solving device of rebound and negative volition to Bible doctrine. The status of carnality and reversionism is insubordination. Insubordination to the authority of God as presented in the Word of God. Insubordination in one area always overflows to other areas. So verse 7, because the mindset on the sin nature, controlled by the sin nature, is hostility against God. For it absolutely does not subordinate itself to the authority of the law of God, God and His Word. Because it is not even able to do so. The believer, controlled by the sin nature, makes himself the enemy of God. And this is the status quo of every reversionistic believer. The reversionist has put himself back under the authority of the first husband, the old sin nature. The believer, controlled by the sin nature, not only is not subordinate to the authority of God and His Word, but he is also completely unable to do so. For a believer to be trapped in the wrong mindset controlled by the sin nature is to be trapped in a life of continuous defeat. And this is precisely what Paul has described in Romans 7, 7 to 25. The believer must be subordinate to the authority of God and His Word, and he cannot fulfill the plan of God for the church age and live the spiritual life. Without God the Holy Spirit controlling your life, the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, getting the absolute truth of God's Word into your heart, the believer cannot grow up spiritually, cannot grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, cannot attain spiritual maturity, cannot fulfill the ultimate objective and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Without God the Holy Spirit controlling your life, living the spiritual life and getting the Word of God in your heart, you wind up making yourself the enemy of God. The believer controlled by the sin nature is characterized by hupotasso, insubordination. He is insubordinate to the authority of God and insubordinate to the authority of the Word of God. So again, verse 7, because the mindset on the sin nature, controlled by the sin nature, is hostility against God, for it absolutely does not subordinate itself to the authority of the law of God, God and His Word, because it is not even able to do so. Now that brought us to a study of authority, principles of authority. First of all, we took a look at the Greek words for authority in the New Testament scriptures, and there's several. And that's as far as we got last Sunday. We noted, first of all, hupotasso, which is the verb that we have in our verse, Romans 8:7. And it means to be subordinate to authority. And hupotasso is not only found in Romans 8:7, but Romans 8:20, 1 Corinthians 14:32, Ephesians 22-24, Colossians 3:18. And then there's another one, hupakuo. Akuo means to hear. To hear or to listen. Hupa means under. To hear under authority. And therefore, to obey. And that hupakuo is found in Romans 6:16, Ephesians 6:1, Colossians 3:20, Matthew 8:27, Luke 8:25. And then there is the verb patho, and patho means to obey. Obey. Found in Galatians 3:1, Galatians 5:7, Hebrews 13:17, James 3:3. And then there's patharkeo, which means to obey rulers, to obey those who are in authority. Paith archeo. And then there's kuriotes, which is authority, found in Jude verse 8. Now, that's as far as we got. We just looked at the words in the God-breathed scriptures that teach about authority. Now, next, we move on the role of your human volition in accepting authority. Now, God created us, and He created all of us with a volition. He gave us all a free will. Very, very important. God has given every member of humanity a volition, a free will. So we're going to look at now the role of human volition in accepting authority. Point one. Response to authority is a function of human volition. Response to authority. And response is the opposite of reacting to authority. And any pastor that is a faithful pastor and doing his job studying and teaching the Word of God, and I've been here about 450 years, evangelistically speaking, I've seen people react to spiritual authority, and I've seen people respond to spiritual authority. I've seen the whole gamut. I can always identify reacting to spiritual authority. Sitting out there in the congregation. Sometimes they tell me I'm number one, you know. And I thank him for that. Well, thank you. I'm number one. Very good. So point one, response to authority is a function of human volition. The acceptability of authority in this life is dependent upon your free will. You are free to accept authority, and you are free to reject authority. You have a free will. You have a volition. Two, human freedom provides the option of accepting or rejecting authority in life. Human freedom provides the option. You have an option. And the whole human race has an option. God gave us the free will. We're free to believe in Jesus Christ. We're free to reject Jesus Christ. Now, you're responsible for those decisions you make. But you're free to believe in Christ. And that means you have eternal life. You live with God forever in heaven. You're free to reject Jesus Christ. And you'll spend eternity in the lake of fire under condemnation. You're free to choose. You're free to believe the Word of God. Come to Upland Bible Church and free to believe the Word of God taught by Pastor Olson. Or you're free to reject it and say he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. You have the freedom to do that. I'm not here to make you believe. I can't make anyone believe or not believe. You have a free will. I'm just, God gave me a gift to teach you what the Word of God says, and you take it from there. My spiritual gift combined with the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit is grace perspicacity. Gives you the opportunity to know exactly what the God-breathed Scripture says. Now you can believe it or reject it. So too, human freedom provides the option of accepting or rejecting authority in life, both legitimate authority and illegitimate authority. While God has delegated legitimate authority in life, these authorities are useless if human volition does not accept them. 3. All legitimate authority in life is delegated by God through 2 categories of truth. All legitimate authority in life is delegated by God through 2 categories of truth. First of all, the laws of divine establishment. Now, I know if some of you got to learn shorthand. You know, you just put LDE, not LDS. That's a different thing. LDE, laws of divine establishment. See, you can get it down real quick. The laws of divine establishment, that's truth for all mankind, believers and unbelievers alike. That's the laws of divine establishment. The second is the content of the Word of God, and that is truth for believers, the royal family of God. Except for gospel truth, and gospel truth, so the unbeliever can come to know Christ as the Savior. So all legitimate authority in life is delegated by God through 2 categories of truth. Laws of divine establishment for believers and unbelievers alike. The content of the Word of God for believers. Point 4. All illegitimate authority in life is based on the function of man's arrogance in the cosmic system of Satan. All illegitimate authority in life is based on the function of man's arrogance in the cosmic system of Satan. First of all, the sin nature is illegitimate authority. Now, you have a sin nature. It's inside your body. The sin nature is always sending up temptations to try to take control of your life. But you have a free will. All you have to do when those temptations come up is say no. No. One of the greatest words in the English vocabulary. No. No way, Jose. See, in case that your sin nature is Hispanic. Just like, you know. I'm glad that you came with a sense of humor, and that's great. I love a sense of humor. So the sin nature is illegitimate authority. And secondly, Satan and his cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, Satan is illegitimate authority. Satan and his cosmic system are illegitimate authority. So all illegitimate authority in life is based on the function of man's arrogance and in the cosmic system of Satan. The sin nature, illegitimate authority. Satan in his cosmic system, illegitimate authority. Point five. Arrogance, which is the antithesis of humility. And humility is the foundational virtue of the spiritual life. The foundational virtue of the spiritual life. God has all of these magnificent virtues, but it starts out with a foundation. You have to have the foundation before you have the superstructure. You have to have humility first. And when you have genuine humility, then you can develop the virtues of Christ. Personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, sharing the happiness of God, occupation with Jesus Christ. All of those fantastic virtues are the superstructure that are built on that foundation of humility. Arrogance is the antithesis of humility. Arrogance results from the rejection of legitimate authority in life. Arrogance results from rejection of legitimate authority in life. Rejection of the authority of God. Rejection of the authority of the Word of God. Rejection of the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God. Rejection of legitimate authority causes people to degenerate, either morally and become very, very self-righteous, or immorally. For example, one, the wife. Who invented marriage? God did. God invented marriage. And he invented marriage for the whole human race. And it's one man and one woman, not two men, not 25 men, not two women, not 25 women, not a man and a goat, you know. A man and a woman. That's marriage. And God invented it, and that's the divine institution of marriage. Fantastic institution. And God set up in marriage principles. He's given how God's told us how this divine institution can work and be wonderful, successful, great happiness. He gives us exactly how it works. And it starts out, well, I'll just have you turn over there. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. God's given us, he told us, hey, this is a fantastic divine institution, marriage between a husband and a wife. The way God designed it and set it up, it ought to be wonderful beyond. It ought to get better and better and better and better. This year, Deb and I will celebrate our 50th anniversary this year. Thank you. Thank you very much. No. But I'll tell you, this lady has fulfilled exactly what the Word of God says. Ephesians 5:22. And guess what the word is in Ephesians 5:22? Wives, hupotasso. Some of you are going, damn. Is that really there? Yes. Hupotasso. Wives, be subordinate to your husbands. Now here's the kicker. As to the Lord. Ooh, That's bringing in the big boys. As to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church is hupotasso, subordinate to Christ, so also wives should be subordinate, hupotasso, to their husbands. Oh, now the last two words, in everything. Damn. Everything? In everything. Not just the things that I think. Well, if you rewrite the Bible, okay. In everything. Now, then it goes to the husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Now, how? Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. In other words, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he loved us when we were at our absolute worst. Spiritually dead, totally depraved, no damn good. And he loved us and went to the cross, took our sins in his body and paid the penalty for those sins when we were at our worst. Now, husbands, the mandate for you is to love your wife with virtue love, impersonal love for your wife, when she's at her worst. Now, there's going to be times when she's at her worst. There's going to be times when she's at her best. But this is love her no matter what time it is, the best or the worst. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up on the cross for her, that means love her with impersonal love. And when you have that virtue love, husbands, in your heart, you have that impersonal love for God the Father that motivates impersonal love for all, impersonal love for your wife when she's at her worst, why, your marriage is home free. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be Christmas every single day, Thanksgiving every single day, because one, she, hupotassos, is subordinate to your authority. She knows you're the authority, and she has the greatest respect for your authority. And you love her with virtue love. You combine those two, your marriage is over the top. Absolutely over the top. That's how God created it. That's how he wants it to be. That's how he designed it to be. And secondly, first of all, the wife who rejection of legitimate authority causes people to degenerate, either morally, self-righteousness, or immorally. For example, the wife who rejects the authority of her husband. Secondly, the most awful and awesome mistake people make is the rejection of the authority of their parents. Your attitude toward your parents' authority determines whether you ever grow up or not. And rejection of the authority of parents, when that goes on over and over again in a nation, that will destroy a society. Third, the rejection of the authority of legitimate government. The rejection of the authority of legitimate government. And that is very destructive. And fourth, the rejection of the authority of teachers and coaches and police officers and everyone in authority is very detrimental. Rejection of all of these authorities means you have the potential of becoming characterized by lawlessness. It means you will reject the authority of the police officer. You will reject the authority of the judge on the bench. You will reject the authority of management in business. Such a miserable person makes those in his periphery miserable. Rejection of authority does carry responsibility and results in a life of misery, unhappiness, and disaster. You don't ever want to go there. Rejection of authority. Point six. While God has delegated authority in life to such legitimate categories as government and husbands and parents and teachers and coaches and public officials and judges and management, this authority is useless apart from human consent. While God has delegated authority in life to such legitimate categories as government and husbands and parents and teachers and coaches, public officials, judges, management, this authority is useless apart from human consent. Now, it is true that you can be bullied into accepting authority, but that does no good in the long run. What makes authority work is human consent, where rational human beings understand the importance of the principle of authority, regardless of whether they like the personality or not. So, examples, the husband has legitimate authority over his wife, but his authority is useless unless his wife, from her own free will, recognizes and accepts it. Regardless of whether she is motivated by love or something else, the mandate is to be subordinate to your husband's authority. Secondly, while parents have authority in the home, this authority is useless apart from training and discipline, which results in the child accepting the parent's authority. While young, children must recognize the authority of their parents. As a result, they will develop love and respect for their parents later on. But if you reject the authority of your parents, you will be a misfit in society. And here's the principle. You never really grow up until you accept authority. You never really grow up until you accept authority. Third, legitimate government. Legitimate government has authority over its citizenry, but that authority is useless apart from human consent. And human consent is expressed in this country, in this nation, by voting. Voting for someone you think will do the job. The important factor is the consent of the governed. Apart from human consent, there is civil war, violence, terrorism, crime, dictatorship, slavery, and other functions of evil. The biggest thing that keeps you from growing up is your rejection of authority, your lack of consent to subordinate yourself to legitimate and necessary authority. Well, that's point six. We're going to take a break. Let you go out and E. Miley down here, she made all the treats out there for you to eat, humdingers. She baked those cookies herself. So try some of those, and we'll see you back in a few with part two.